Will the Trump rally continue? We'll talk with Doug Roberts.
This is Your Money Matters from the Wall Street Journal.
Welcome to Your Money Matters. I'm Charlie Turner in New York. Since the election on November 8th, stocks have been in pretty much of a nonstop rally. Investors have welcomed the surprise election win for Donald Trump on hopes that his policies will give a big boost to the economy. So will the Donald Trump rally continue? Joining us is Doug Roberts, Chief Investment Strategist at ChannelCapitalResearch.com. First of all, Doug, in your view, why has this rally continued?
In essence, it's really that Donald Trump really hasn't been the disruptor that everybody anticipated him to be. You have to realize from where we started, number one, nobody was really anticipating a Trump victory. And number two, it had been painted during the campaign that if there was a Trump victory, that basically the world was going to end. We were going to be plunged into either a worldwide depression or basically World War III, and thus far, neither of them have happened, and actually, it looks like it's really more of a continuation of the status quo. As you mentioned, the real question is how long it's going to last.
Do you think Trump's policies, to the extent that they've been fleshed out, will help the economy?
Right now, I think you got to divide that into a couple of pieces. Number one, what everybody seems to be focused on is his social policies and rhetoric, and that can be quite divisive and may still cause lingering problems. But ultimately, not very much of that is going to affect the economy. His economic policies have really been more pro-business. And with regard to the protectionism that people have criticized him about, it's really been more negotiating rhetoric, that is not really too different from conventional politics. The real question is how long are the legs for something like this? Is this something that can generate economic growth over the foreseeable future, or do you really have to get down to concrete economic policy, which has been referred to in the past as really the sausage-making process with Congress? And even with a Republican Congress, there are a variety of different interests. Right now, it's been primarily rhetoric, and that should be able to continue this rally over the next couple of months into next year, assuming that no major geopolitical event happens, and in addition, really, that the Fed doesn't tighten excessively, which it looks like, really, from the last FOMC meeting, does not really look like an eventuality.
Donald Trump's cabinet appointments have been mostly pro-business. So far, they've been seen as good for the markets and the economy. What about for foreign and domestic policy? I mean, these guys are businessmen, basically.
I agree with you there, but then you also have to look on the flip side. Right now, I think you're referring really to the Secretary of State, but that's been really balanced out by the Secretary of Defense, James Mattis, who, despite his nickname of Mad Dog, also has a second nickname of the Warrior Monk, and is known to be one of the most well-read and well-educated military generals in recent history. So he's really more conservative and kind of acts as a balance to really the business people itself. He also has that in other parts of the administration, really with his National Security Advisor, General Flynn. Again, despite the controversy associated with his positions, he's really almost a balance to General Mattis and to possibly the new Secretary of State nominee, Rex Tillerson, as well. So you kind of have a president who's getting people with varying different backgrounds kind of balancing off each other, and then that assures him a diversity of opinions. Even if you look right now from a trade point of view, his vice president, Mike Pence, has been known to be pro-free trade. So really the question is how much of this is rhetoric versus how much of this is going to be a massive trade war that everybody's talking about. Also, from an economic point of view, you have to realize that since we have a net trade deficit and really are less dependent upon exports than many of the other countries they're talking about engaging with a trade war. A trade war could have negative effects, but also positive effects as well in terms of the trade balance.
I'm speaking with Doug Roberts, Chief Investment Strategist at ChannelCapitalResearch.com, and you're listening to Your Money Matters.
Today's episode is brought to you by CIT. It's time to get growing with commercial lending, leasing, and treasury management services from CIT. CIT works with companies across a wide variety of industries, including transportation, technology, energy, manufacturing, healthcare, and retail. CIT has the expertise and experience to help you grow your business. For more information about how your business can grow with CIT, visit CIT.com. Put knowledge to work.
Thanks for listening, everyone. I'm speaking with Doug Roberts of ChannelCapitalResearch.com. Doug, let's pursue this further. You talked about Trump being a deal maker, and as far as his pick for Secretary of State is concerned, Rex Tillerson, he's also a deal maker. Might that be some sort of hindrance to getting things done? Because you mentioned policy usually gets enacted by sausage making and not this sort of deal making that seems to be prevalent among these two people.
Yeah, I think that's really the $1 trillion question, and that's why I say really it's going to depend upon after we get past the rhetoric and kind of the negotiation, similar to what you saw with Carrier Corporation and really with IBM in terms of bringing jobs back to the United States, where they have to enact substantial fiscal policy, and that's going to require a different mindset. The real question is whether these people can adjust to it. The other problem that you have is really the various departments are staffed by career civil servants who at that point are quite entrenched, and they're going to have to get it through that as well as Congress. And it remains to be seen if really these business guys who are used to saying something and then having somebody else carry it out immediately can really navigate the bureaucratic process.
Doug, does it seem likely that a President Trump will be better able to work with Congress since it's dominated by the GOP, or may he run into his own headwinds?
I think it's going to really depend upon the issues that are involved. For instance, the trade issue mentioned, the GOP has traditionally been very, very pro-free trade, even more so than the Democratic Party. And at that point, you know, the so-called protectionist, you know, populism point of view that Trump has is actually quite new and actually has more roots in really the insurgent presidential campaign of Ross Perot, and then actually the Democrats, you know, the industrial heartland Democrats of Dick Gephardt in the past. So that's something that's going to be a relative change, and there will be some people in the Republican Congress who will reflexively oppose that, possibly on both sides, and some people who will, you know, support it. A lot of it will depend upon if it seems to be working.
Doug, concerning the Federal Reserve, they're now forecasting 3 interest rate hikes for 2017. Do you think this will stick? After all, the previous time that they made a rate hike forecast back in December 2015, they didn't come close to fulfilling it.
I think much of it will depend upon really how things play out. Typically, the pattern is the Fed is very, very aggressive at the beginning of the year, as you pointed out, for last year and the previous year. And then afterwards, it starts to dissipate as economic growth doesn't seem to live up to forecast. And if it does, you know, they may stick to their 3 points, but you have to realize, vis-a-vis historically, 3/4-point interest rate increases in a year is not exactly what you call massive tightening, especially when we compare it to 1994. And there's going to be other effects that start to kick in. Number one is the strength of the dollar. If everybody else is loosening, that can in itself make the dollar stronger and basically the trade position less competitive for us, even with the Trump intervention. And that could slow down the economy. The other, I think the bigger key is really going to be inflation. If really oil prices are stable, and that's a big if, you know, we've typically been locked into the $40 to $50 range, and right now we seem to be on the verge of breaking out, but there are a lot of macro factors that are holding that back. Then, you know, you could see the Fed being forced by the hawks to stick to this increased pattern. On the other hand, even if economic growth is relatively good, but inflation is moderate, and inflation, at least the top line, seems to be dominated by oil prices, there's less of an incentive, really, to raise rates fairly quickly, and it can be done more gradually.
With regard to foreign policy, Doug, what worries you the most?
Really, it's what we don't know and what we can't track. Possibly black swans that develop overseas, that really we don't see coming, and all of a sudden they pop up and destabilize the system. The big problem is really China. There's less transparency there in terms of really what's going on, and you're not only operating on a financial level, but it also has implications for military action as well. And something, you know, unusual could happen that could trigger a series of events that could cause some real problems here in the United States. And the market supposedly wouldn't be able to factor that into the equation. So it could be rather sudden and rather violent.
Do you think this stock rally will continue, and what would it depend on?
I think it could, you know, very well continue through the middle of next year. It depends upon really none of the geopolitical risks or geopolitical shocks really arising. I think really the Fed has to be in a position where they're maintaining a very, very slow, gradual path of increases or basically paused. And really it's going to depend upon Donald Trump not making a major mistake. But assuming that, I mean, a lot of his rhetoric seems to be producing, you know, at least jobs or growth in the interim. And, you know, that's been shown in the past to work. The real question is eventually they're going to have to do something more substantial. But that may not be until really later on of next year. But if they are able to do it, the rally could continue and could have legs, as well, assuming that it's not stopped dead in its track by the Fed.
Doug Roberts, Chief Investment Strategist at ChannelCapitalResearch.com. Thank you very much for being on the podcast.
Thank you for having me on, Charlie. Always a pleasure.
And that's this edition of Your Money Matters. Thanks for listening. I'm Charlie Turner at the News Desk in New York.
Make us part of your daily commute. WSJ Podcasts. Listen ambitiously.